funny because each game is different, as you guys know, and I think that you know, in the games that we've won, I think we've contributed well for the most part. In the games that we've lost, we really haven't executed well enough to help our football team win. And it's like, you know, Coach McDaniels always stresses, it's real big. Complementary football is huge for offense, defense, and special teams. And, you know, when we're playing well, I think we help the team win. And when we're not, it just really, we're hurting our team more than we should in some of those instances.
You've done some things with Matt Prater to keep him fresh. How's that program worked out?
I think, Matt, when I first took the job in January, I called him up because I knew he had a lot of talent. Of course, I'd played against him a couple times. And I think Matt's deal was, you know, he's a very hard-working young man, and he did a great job in the offseason of preparing himself for the season. So that, you know, we don't kick him as much maybe as he did last year, but I think the other part of it is he's a very hard-working guy, and I think that's going to contribute, you know, to his success and, you know, for the rest of the year.
When you guys have had those games when you haven't played well, what do you think the breakdowns have been? Is it personnel stuff? Is it just what would you say, you know, has been the difference in the games you've played well and the games you haven't?
Well, that's a great question. I think what happened in the Baltimore game, I think it was, you know, we ran into a team that was, you know, they needed a win, and, you know, we're coming off the bye, and I'm not going to make any excuses. We didn't focus well enough in that football game. We didn't have the sense of urgency, the same sense of urgency as Baltimore did. And I think any time you put, you know, young players out there, and if maybe I don't prepare well enough, or they don't prepare themselves well enough, or a combination of the two, if you don't do the things necessary in the week in practice and on game day to prepare yourself for that type of intensity that special teams that you have to have to bring to the special teams table, then you're not going to perform up to the expectations.
Hey, you spent a lot of time in Kansas City. Do you have any theories as to why the Broncos have struggled there so much in December?
No, I know we struggled there, you know, last couple years. We didn't play as well as we needed to win football games. You know, I never really studied it. Just whenever I played the Broncos, I obviously studied them. But, you know, I couldn't put a finger on that. I really haven't looked at that at all.
You guys have put a large emphasis this offseason in the draft and also in the undrafted free agents and bringing in guys that would help the special teams. You look at your special teams tacklers, there's quite a few rookies that are helping out. Can you just assess how these new players have kind of melded in?
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about that the other day. I don't consider them rookies anymore. I told them that in the meeting the other day that, you know, they've got 15 games under their belt, so they're no longer rookies. But in answer to your question, I think the guys that we drafted, I think our management and our head coach do a great job of identifying guys that not only can help on special, I mean, on offense or defense, but they also can help us on special teams at the type of athletes that we need to help us win in those phases. And you know, I'm pleased. I like our personnel. I like how they've continued to grow. I like how the rookies have developed for the most part, and I'm excited about our future.
We've been talking to you since you guys made that move at punter. What did you want to get out of Mitch, and how is that change working out for you?
You know, Mitch brings, what he brings to the table is obviously experience. He's kicked in a lot of cold weather games, won a world championship last year, and performed well in a lot of those games for Pittsburgh a year ago. I think as a situational punter, and the things that we ask our punter to do is different than a lot of teams in that we don't ask him just line up and try to crush the ball every time. We're going to directional punt when we need to directional punt. We're going to, you know, situational punting in terms at the end of the half or at the end of the game when we need certain types of punts so our guys have the best chance for success. We just thought that Mitch would be able to do that, and I think he's really improved over the past few weeks.
But not maybe counting Prater, your kickers, or your returner. Who's been your best special teams player this year?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to single out, you know, one guy over the other because then they won't listen to me in meetings anymore. But, you know how sensitive young people are. No, I'm kidding. I think you know, a lot of them have stepped up, have done a nice job, and it's funny because it seems like every week a different young guy will step up, whether it's Wes Woodyard or David Bruton or Darcell McBath or even Robert Ayers is starting to contribute more on special teams. So I think a lot of these guys, you know, the young guys, and then you got Mario Hagan and Darrell Reed. I don't think any one guy has outperformed the other, but I think they've all improved or they've stepped up in one game or the other during the season.
I think Eddie's done this year as a returner. I know he had obviously the huge game against San Diego, but overall, how has Eddie done?
I think Eddie's done a great job. I think Eddie's a very talented young man. He's got speed, he's got quickness, he's got vision. I loved him coming out of Virginia Tech. I actually went out and worked him out when I was with Kansas City, and so I've known Eddie since he was in college. But he brings a lot to the table in terms of he's got that big playability, but he's also very smart, and he's also a good situational type returner. And again, we ask our returners to do things differently than a lot of teams in that, you know, he's going to go ahead and pick up that short punt and only get a 2-yard return. It may hurt his average, but it's going to help us, you know, 10, 15 yards of field position. So I like what Eddie's done for us this year. I wish we would block for him better on some occasions, but overall I think he's done a nice job for us.
We've seen a Champ out there on some of the coverage units. How in general do you feel about having starters out on your units? And, you know, Mario Hagan plays on everything and is a starter.
Well, if the head coach is going to let me use them, I'm going to use them. I think, you know, they're experienced guys, they're good tacklers. You know, you just feel more secure with a Champ Bailey and an Andre Goodman out there on your kickoff team, or Mario Hagan or Dale Reed on your punt team. I think, especially on the coverage units, you need those type of guys that you know, if they do break one, you're going to have one of those guys step up and make the play if you need them to.
Josh was just real complimentary of Dustin Colquitt, and I know you know him real well. What does he do, and how is he able to flip field position so well?
Well, Dustin's extremely talented. He's got a tremendous leg. He's got a lot of confidence in his abilities. He's healthy this year. Last year, for part of the season, he was a little banged up. And, you know, he's kicking like he's healthy again, like he did a couple years ago. He's very... He has got a big-time leg, as I'm sure you guys already know. You look at his numbers, you know, he can get the ball up in the air over 5 seconds. I know a couple years ago he had 27 punts that were over 5 second hang time, and he's got a bunch of them this year. So he flips field position because, you know, A, he's left-footed and sometimes more difficult to catch, especially in the wind in Kansas City. But B, he's just got a great leg and a lot of confidence and abilities. And to be honest with you, their protection and coverage have been very good all year as well.
Mike, Matt yesterday was talking about how good of a holder Mitch Berger is. What makes a guy a good holder? And, you know, do you agree with that sentiment?
I do agree with it. I think Mitch has done a nice job for us. I think to be a good holder, you have to be a good athlete. You have to have good hands. You have to have a sense of urgency and be conscientious enough that it's important to you. And Mitch has got all those qualities. I think he is. He works very hard at it. You know, I tease him a little bit because when he came here for his workout, he struggled, but he hadn't done it with a snapper probably since he was, you know, the Super Bowl, to be honest with you. So, you know, he works very hard. We work very hard over on our turf field and do a lot of jugs work, do a lot of work with Lonnie and Matt. So, you know, I think because he has a sense of urgency and because he's a good athlete, the combination of those two things make him a good holder.
How much of a hidden benefit is that for Matt or any field goal kicker to have a holder that's that good?
It's huge. It's huge because now they don't even worry about it. They worry about what they do. You know, if you've got a holder that's struggling or a holder that's not quite as good as a guy like we have, you know, the kicker, now there's a doubt in the back of his mind whether or not the ball's going to get down and either the right tilt or right on the right spot, or if the ball's tilted too far forward or back, whatever the case may be. If you have a holder that can do those things, and then the kicker doesn't worry about it, and he just goes out and does his thing.
Mike, realizing that conditions and game situation are the biggest factors, you know, we've been out there in training camp when Prater has boomed, you know, 65 yarders. Where are you comfortable about his range up to generally?
Like you said, it depends on the wind and the weather and the field conditions, if it's wet or it's cold. You know, I have a lot of confidence in Matt. I know our head coaches. I know our football team does. And, you know, if he needs to go out there and make a real long one to win the game or at the end of the half, whatever the case may be, I know he would have the confidence in doing that, and I think I would as well. And a lot of times you don't try long field goals because of the field position change, and I think that's what you have to take into account as well that a lot of people don't think about.
Could you define what a long field goal at the end of the half or game is? Do you feel comfortable with him to 70, 65? What, in perfect conditions, let's say.
Perfect conditions, I don't know. Maybe in a vacuum or maybe with 50-mile-an-hour winds behind him, you could back him up even more. But I really don't want to say. I don't want to put that number out there.
All right, just in general, off the path a little bit, but with your experience in the Service Academy and the rules the way they are, do you think it will be difficult for guys from those schools to play in the league now?
Well, first of all, you have to say the Service Academy because it's the United States. That would be the number one academy. You know what? There's a lot of young men that go to all the academies, and you know they come from. Maybe schools that, you know, some of them come from schools that are big time football schools, other ones that are smaller schools. I think because they go to an academy, they get that little asterisk that says, hey, you know, don't touch this guy because maybe he's not good enough, maybe he's an overachiever. But there's been a lot of good football players that have gone through the academies, and you know, I wouldn't put anything past a lot of those kids because if, you know, they're tough enough to go through what they go through, I think they can handle playing in the NFL if they do have the talent to do so.
Do you think people will wait for them now that they're not giving those guys a break on their commitments, that they're having to serve out their commitments before they come into the league?
Gee, I don't even know what the new rule. I know they've changed it a couple times, and if that's the case, then I think, you know, if a guy goes out and he stays in shape, and, you know, he might have a chance to come back, but you guys know how tough it is if you stay away from football for four or five years, whatever their commitment is now. That's obviously difficult to do.